Welcome to the Change Your World Relationships and Family and Business Virtual Summit. This is all brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the fabulous Miss Carmen Buck. Carmen, won't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. I'm going to start with a little daydreaming, sort of a nightmare that many of us are very familiar with. Hold on, though, because it has a very happy ending. Imagine that you have a life manager who makes all decisions for you. When you wake, what you do all day, who you spend your time with, what you do when you're with your family, what you do in your free time, what you do at work, how long you play with your kids or your pets. Your manager tells you when and what you'll eat, what you'll listen to, or what you watch on TV, and when you'll go to bed. Your life manager tells you what, when, and how to live your life. What if this life manager has you get up at 4:30 in the morning to beat the traffic and lessen the commute? She has you get up a little early to do some yoga, because if you don't, your back will be killing you by the end of the day. She has you get to work around 7 and watch the sunrise many mornings. You have a nice corner office that you share with two others. Those other two ladies happen to be about 2 feet away, and the noise level is quite high. Isn't that awesome? Well, not really. You can look out the window to see what kind of day it is, though. You are there a good hour before everyone else, too. So, hey, why not catch up and prepare for the day? It's going to be a long one after all. You work with fewer resources and are expected to do more. Your manager tells you that you'll work 12 hours a day or so, but there will be some weeks that you only work 40 hours. Since you are a salaried employee, if you sneak away early one day, you should go for it. That's assuming that you can get the stack of work on your desk done first. Be sure when you get home, though, that you check your emails and stuff, because someone may have tried to get a hold of you while you were sneaking out early. Did I tell you that you can't fire this manager? So anyway, you'll also get a working lunch so that you can catch up on emails, phone messages, text messages, and now the electronic medical record. You're a nurse practitioner, and now patients can write to you directly. You'll get about 30 direct messages needing replies a day. People are sick, and they can't wait too long for those replies, by the way. Your manager is aware that the long hours working and commuting leave very little time for exercise, and your health will certainly fail. She anticipates and tells you that you'll gain some weight and be terribly fatigued. After about a year of this, maybe two, you won't even recognize yourself in the mirror. And you'll pass the mirror and ask, hey, who the heck is that tired, old, overweight lady wearing my clothes? You'll need new clothes, by the way, but you won't give in because you feel a little too disheartened. Your manager warns you that you'll miss your family because when you're with them, you'll be attached to your phone or computer or both checking emails and such. You'll help other people's families in your work, but your own will suffer terribly. You won't see them very much, and when you do, you'll be really tired and probably really grouchy. Have you seen your backside in the mirror lately? Who would be cheery after all? Of course you're grouchy. So, nah, you tend to say to yourself just a little bit more than usual. Obviously, I was that overworked nurse practitioner with a really crappy manager, and that manager was me. I am my own manager, just the way we are our own managers. I made those choices. It wasn't my work's fault. It wasn't my choice of career's fault. I made those choices. Would you do it? Would you keep up with the pace like that? Many of us have in our own ways. Some of us listening are doing it right now. Many of us do this for decades even. It's just nuts. My cup was dry. It wasn't half full. It wasn't half empty. It was completely empty. So what do we do when our cup is dry? The thing is, it doesn't matter if it's all the way dry, if it's half empty, or it's half full. We reach for a pitcher, and we fill it back up. reaching for the pitcher is what makes the difference. But what do you fill it with? Water, milk, juice, or my personal favorites, wine or margaritas? Well, the truth is, if it was so easy to fill our cups back up, it wouldn't have been dry in the first place. So what did I do? Well, I'm going to tell you what I did because it happened in such a beautiful, simple, and pristine way. I knew I needed to fill my cup with something more, but I was too tired to reach for the pitcher. And I didn't even know what to fill my cup with. I didn't even know where the pitcher was stored, as a matter of fact, until one day I told my husband about a patient of mine, while remaining HIPAA compliant, by the way. My specialty is dementia. My patient was in her 60s, and she was fairly newly diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, which is a terrible disease. It has a course of about 10 years. I had seen her and her husband two or three times over the past year, and had got to know them fairly well. And she had started to show some decline. She loved her husband so much that she wanted to interview hospice teams to help him pick out the best care team for them as well as for the whole family. She knew when the time came around that she would need hospice, that she wouldn't be able to help. She wanted to help him with that while she could. This was one of the absolute sweetest things I had ever heard. And let me just say, there were plenty of tears in the office that day. It was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. The real key for me here was that I couldn't get it out of my head that somebody needed to tell the story and countless others I had heard every day. See, this is why I kept on that treadmill of life, because of people like this. I heard these stories a good 10 times a day. After hearing you tell the story and my claim that it needed to be shared with the world, my husband's response was, well, you love to write. Why don't you tell their stories for them? Maybe write that book you've been thinking about. So I'm going to be real here. I'm going to keep it real, too. My initial response was, are you nuts? Don't you see how hard I work? When would I ever have time to do that? That was the real beginning. But wait, it gets better. After my initial resistance to his suggestion that I should write this book, I couldn't get our conversation out of my head. I love caring for my patients, but I didn't feel like I was in the right place or doing the right thing, but I wasn't sure how to change it. I grabbed my journal and I asked one of the most difficult questions in the world. Why? Why? Why do I want to tell these stories? So I wrote my answer: because of the raw beauty, the vulnerability, and that they put my life in perspective. Their story put my life in perspective. Why? Well, because I get inspired to live better by experiencing these stories and getting to know these people. Why? Because I'm not living well myself. I need the inspiration from others. See, this is getting a little tough, right? I just didn't have it in me to be so inspired about my own life at the time. I asked again, why? Okay, so now it's getting real uncomfortable. Why was my life not so inspired? Well, I came to the conclusion that I sold out then. I put my work before my health and before people I love. I say I value those things, but if so, I sure didn't show it. I also stopped being as creative. I'm a very creative person. I love that. I love just dabbling and playing and stuff, but I really wasn't doing any of that. So, yeah, I had sold out. Why? Well, I think it's tougher, right? I came to this conclusion, and it hurt. Chaos is my comfort place. That was my answer. It was a huge revelation for me. It was a pivotal question and answer. I hated the routine. I hated the chaos, but it was all I had known for so long that it was more comfortable than it was to make a change. And to be honest, I'll tell you that I started work at age 15. I had an evening job making pizzas. I had a weekend job in the nursing home as a nurse's aide, and so being busy was somewhat familiar. Not that I ever really liked it, but it was something that I did. Old programs, what we get used to, that's a whole other story. So I'm going to move on to this, though. The craziness was a way of life so much that I wasn't even sure what to do to move out of that position. Plus, when you're working long hours, 12-hour days every day, commuting a couple hours, there isn't a lot of time left to ponder, to be truly alone with your feelings. I'd like to say that I could have done that while commuting, but traffic took my attention. So carving out time and energy to consider what to do was a challenge, but so was my yearning for something more. Yearning without action was painful, and I really needed hope, because to yearn for something without being able to put it into place or to see how to do it was just painful. So that's it. My picture will be filled with hope, and I even found where I stored that picture. So here we go, as life would have it. The following week, I got bronchitis and couldn't work for the whole week. I was sick as a dog, but I have to admit I was doing my own little happy dance, if you know what I mean. I finally had that pondering time that I needed. I journaled some more. I asked myself a few more tough questions. One of them, if I could fail, what would I do? What do I want to do? And I just kind of made my dream list, not thinking about money or resources. Well, that was kind of easy for me, actually, coming up with the list. I love to write. I like to speak and inspire. I love taking pictures. I have had a camera around my neck for as long as I can remember. Pictures that change people's perspectives of themselves, and pictures that will live on forever and be valued. See, it's about relationships for me, and images reflect relationships, the ones with ourselves especially. During the past 5 years, I attended two workshops put on by Hay House Publishing about writing, publishing, and promoting. I pitched my ideas to Cheryl Richardson, who's a life coach and well-known author, Louise Hay, the founder of Hay House, Ree Tracy, president and CEO of Hay House. I met with Wayne Dyer and Marianne Williamson, who all encouraged me to reach my potential. I'm not just throwing out names here, but I'm really trying to say I had inspiration, I had education out the yin-yang, and yet I let myself get buried. So it is okay to catch up. It's okay to be there in the chaos, just so long as you know to reach for that picture to see what else can be done. It was about hope for me. Somehow I'd lost that, yep. By the end of my sick week, I was still coughing like crazy, but I was so infused with hope. My cup got filled with a picture of hope. I had a plan. I would write my book about the families caring for their loved ones with dementia, with the working title of Love Still Lives Here, surround myself with beauty. I so love the words, the images, the people. Most importantly, I take care of myself and be who I wanted to be. That's all. Simple, right? I believe since I finally came to a revelation about my life that was huge enough to make my guardian angels do a little happy dance with me, that the rest would come easy. And you're probably laughing a little bit now, but don't, because it totally happened that way. I needed to practice. I took lots of photography workshops. I studied. And in all honesty, you know, I've been doing photography for years. I just didn't hone in my talents. I knew how to see what needed to be seen. I studied design in the 20s. My years of nursing prepared me to work with people. I actually had this package together. Years led me to this. I spent my savings on equipment. We cleaned up our converted garage, and it became my awesome studio. My husband helped me out tremendously. I asked friends and Facebook friends I didn't even know to come and let me do photo shoots with them. I found fantastic hair and makeup artists on social media of all places. I met the right people at the right time, and it fell into places. By the way, friends and strangers I invited over for photo shoots, they all said yes. That's a story for another time. But for some, it was life-changing. Personally, professionally, life-changing. Who would have guessed? I had no idea it would be so fulfilling for me. So what does the story have to do with branding? Here's the thing. The colors on our website, the images we portray, what we do, how we do it, it has to be authentic. It has to be real in who we are. If not, it shows through and we won't be trusted. People can tell if we aren't true to ourselves or to them. Asking yourself why and waiting for an answer and asking why again and again helps to get to the root of who you are. I realized I had all the answers already, but the pieces weren't together at all yet. Asking why really helped me with that. I'll be going back to that why over and over again as I need to. Asking why helped me to realize that I'm shamelessly feminine and I love to play dress up. I also like bold and bright colors and something a little out of the ordinary. I'm also very much about relationships. I love learning about people in a more really deep, meaningful way. I'm writing my book and taking those beautiful emotional pictures of families with their demented loved ones. I'm capturing different cultures and ages, and I love taking pictures of people of a certain age as kind of a unique brand, but that's part of me. For modern women's portraits, the photo shoots last a couple hours. I meet with them before and throughout the whole time. I work with styling and hair and makeup. I love this. I work for those goosebump moments, and I always get them. Goosebump moments happen when there's a brush with the divine telling me that was our moment. That was the image that will be cherished in this family or by this woman forever. I get goosebumps thinking about goosebumps. It's a big deal. And who wouldn't love that? My branding needs to reflect this because this is me. And I'm working on it, by the way. I started to integrate some videos, evoke some emotion, and also show that we have fun because we do. My blog has inspirational quotes and stories and short videos and slideshows sharing my joy with the world. And while I can be very serious and deep, I also love to dance around the studio and play, because why not? So what now? Go out and figure what needs to be in your picture to keep your cup full by asking why over and over until it gets uncomfortable and even through being uncomfortable. When it's uncomfortable, you're onto something. Remember, it's not important if your cup is half full, half empty, or bone dry. It's knowing where the picture is and what's in that picture for you. Stay true to yourself. Listen to your heart and your mind. It's that important. Be willing to leave the chaos. This might be big like it was for me, or it might be smaller. Remember, by the way, when I said I said to myself, this might be fairly easy. I thought it would be easy. I may have even accused you of snickering or laughing at me. Well, let me tell you that I did all this since last March of 2015. That's when I got bronchitis. I did my first practice photo shoots in July of 2015. I left my full-time job about a month ago. Yippee, as Tanya would say. Yippee, yippee. That's how long it took after things just started falling into place and I was on the right track. To say the pieces fell into place is a huge understatement. I did the work, but it came easy because it was the right path, and I'm grateful for all that has happened. I have a few favors. I would like to ask you to follow my blog, which is on my website, or follow me on social media if you're so inclined. I'm just getting started with this, as you can tell, and I love and need your support. Relationships come in a variety of forms. I'm always surprised by the wonderful things that come my way. I'd like to get to know you, too, so please reach out if this interests you. Can also consider reaching out to me if you'd like to be a guest blog contributor. My topics will vary, and topics of interest of women or those caring for their loved ones are interest to my readers. I'm an active blogger and really trying to build that up. So if you have a story to tell, please reach out to me. My phone number is 512-920-2825. My website has all my information, including social media, because I'm all over there too. And my website is Carmen Buck Photography, and it's CarmenBuck Photography.com. Thank you so much for listening in. I so hope my story will inspire you to lead an inspired life as well. And I look forward to keeping the story going.